WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
That's Matt Wolf shoots, scores! Kyle Lowe from the high slot! Took the pass on a backhand from Owen Cylinder. He beats Driscoll.
Every Wednesday night, get all the info you need to know about the next game.
Launch went ahead looking for Weissenen. It was deflected by Northern Michigan. Weissenen goes and tracks it down. He'll leave it now for Owen Cylinder. Back up top it comes. Brad Johnson with a shot. He scores! It was deflected out in front. Deflected, I believe, by Austin Jopy.
Get the insight from the man behind the bench. He's played here. He's coached here. He and Bob Peters are Beaver Hockey. The Tom Ceratori Show, live at the Tavern on the South Shore, on the radio home for Beaver Hockey since day one of the Division I era. We are the Beaver Radio Network.
To the Tavern on South Shore, the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. It's been 3 weeks and I forgot where all these buttons need to be pushed.
It seems like it's been an eternity.
It has been an eternity. 2 weeks ago, it was the guy over there. Last week, it's the girl that's not here. Hopefully, the three of us are good to go. Tom, it's been a while. Since before the St. Cloud weekend, I believe, was the last show that we had. You guys have not had a terribly terrific record since then. It's not that you've played poorly since then, but what's your take on your team headed into this weekend?
We've been in and out, Schultze. We've been in and out. We haven't played well the last 2 weekends. And I want to give Michigan Tech, obviously, some credit this past weekend. I mean, they're a really good team. I mean, they might be the best team we've seen this year. They're really, really good. They're right up there with St. Cloud, Mankato, put it that way. I'm not going to sit there and say who's the best, because that's not fair to either one of those three teams, but they're all pretty darn good. And so I want to give credit where credit's due. But, I mean, I watched them, too, last night. They're really good against Northern Michigan as well. But, no, I mean, obviously, you know, like I told the guys, it's been about 9 days. You know, we played really well in Bowling Green. It wasn't that long ago. So that's kind of how I look at things. But, no, we're in a funk right now, and we got to get out of it. Got to fix it.
Well, I thought, the Ferris series, Ferris comes in, obviously, in the bottom of the standings, but I thought they played really well. I don't know what their issues were earlier that they maybe didn't have as good of a record, but they're a fast and really good team. It almost, to me, mirrored what you guys are when you're at your peak, really going at a high speed.
Yeah, but our level is so good. Just because they're at the bottom of the standings, okay, so they're this far below people. That's what it is.
Well,
I mean, that's what it
right.
is. I mean, our level's so good. It's so good, and there's a fine line between everybody. So that's people get confused with that. They just look at the standings, and they think. But probably I have so much respect for every team, every coach, and every program. And I just know, again, if you aren't dialed in, it's going to be a tough night, and you got to really be dialed in. There's just not a lot of difference. There's not a lot of difference between 20 and 50. I mean, there's just never has been, never will be.
Well, and obviously Ferris comes in and gets the sweep, but often I think fans and certainly fanatics are certainly ones to overreact. You've lost five in a row here, but you're still in third place. You still got a good lock on things as far as a home ice in the playoffs, and there's still a lot of games to give.
No, absolutely, but still, I mean, deservingly so. I mean, you know what? We have lost five straight. We've lost some games. We should win, and. We've done that to ourselves right now. So the coach is just as frustrated and disappointed as anybody else.
The Saturday game at Tech last weekend went from a tie game to a 5-2 finish in the blink of an eye. What happened in the third?
You know, they just made a couple plays, and they were pushing the whole game. I mean, I thought we were just hanging on in a good way, though. We were hanging on. I think going into the third period, tied 2-2. Definitely could have been worse than that, but we hung on. But they popped that one the first minute of the third period. And that kind of broke our back.
That was a gut punch.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, there's a few things we needed. We needed to pop the first goal, or we needed to get the third goal. You know, either or. But it just, again, that team was, they were a high level team, and they are a high level team, and they were really good that last weekend, really good last weekend. They're playing really good hockey.
Well, this weekend you got Northern Michigan, and you guys went there and swept them early in the season. Obviously, whatever happened, it could have been a week ago. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
The games this weekend. But what have you seen out of them as the season has progressed?
Well, they're a good hockey team. They're really a good rush offense team. They're good on the power play. They've scored 38 goals so far on the rush, and that's something that we have to have good rush defense this weekend.
Well, offensively, you guys have put up a lot of goals. I mean, if you look, I think you're third in the conference. You've also given up a lot of goals. That's not usually the MO for Beaver hockey. It's maybe
right.
Lower scoring and lower giving up goals. What's the difference this year?
We're not as good defensively. We have to get back to that. This is uncharacteristically for a Beaver hockey team. No, we're giving up too many goals. You can't give up goals. That's the one thing. Even if you score goals, you can't give up goals.
When you're up three, your philosophy, I think, your first one to three is usually the one
exactly.
to win.
Exactly. But you just can't. Again, if you take a look at all of our teams in the past, or take a look at the teams right now, the top teams in college hockey, even if they're at 3 or 3.2, they're giving up 1-8, 1-9, 2,
right.
2-1, 2-2, 2-3. You know, you definitely better be. If you want to have a good record and you want to be an NCAA team minimal, you probably have to be a 0.6 to 0.7 goals differential on the plus side with even getting closer to the 0.10, you know. And if you're going to be hovering right around the even mark or 0.2 or 0.3, no, it ain't happening.
A lot can change in the next month.
That's what you got to do, and you got to just try to fix it. We got to do the best we can and just try to fix it.
Obviously, you want the goals. I mean, you're not going to argue with 86 or whatever goals that you've got on the season. Is it one of those things that sometimes the defense suffers because the offense is
not a little bit, but there's more. There's it's more complicated than that.
The Beavers host Northern Michigan this weekend. We've got tickets to give away. We've got tavern gift cards to give away. We will do that throughout the course of the evening tonight. Lucas Sillinger went on a heck of a tear for you last weekend, Tom. He scored a lot of goals. He scored both goals on Friday, one of the two on Saturday. He can flip a game in a hurry, can he?
Well, he's got a lot of dynamics to his game, and he loves the puck on his stick. And he's crafty. He's really crafty. And he got us back into the game a couple times last week, and that's for sure.
He seems to be a guy where he tries so dang hard to make a play, make something happen. Where he'll make a move into an area of the ice, and I'm like, uh-oh. And he's coming into a double team, or he's coming into the meat of the defense, and yet he can still. Come on and find a way to make a play.
It's amazing. It's amazing, Schultz, because we're with you. We see the same thing. We're just going like, you know, he's a player that can get away with some of those things. He can bring pucks into traffic, and he's in traffic, and you're going to sit there and say, there's no way you're going to come out with it, and he does. And he's kind of got ice water in his veins.
Well, and obviously Owen has been, all offense for you. I mean, doing such a great job, over 100 points in his career. How do those two compare? Are they pretty similar?
No, they're pretty different. I mean, Owen's probably more of a north-south. Owen's a north-south player. Probably Lucas is more of an east-west player. So that's probably the biggest difference right there. You know, one guy, he's always going north making plays, where Lucas is going to try to slow some things down. He's looking to he'll go east, he'll go west. They're different. They're different players.
You shook up your lines again last Saturday. This late in the year, you don't really want to have to be searching for answers, do you?
Well, you're doing it because Ross is out, though. I wasn't necessarily more than that. When you got injuries, then you have to do it. I mean, that's what that is, Schultz.
How many people go on the road in case you get injuries?
We have 23 is our travel party.
So what's that, four sitting in the stands?
No, we can go 21, so two sitting
okay.
in the stands.
All right.
Yeah.
Average fan might not know that. I mean, what, two goalies normally you're taking
yeah,
with?
Yeah, take so two goalies.
Have you ever had it? I mean, obviously you've had goalies get injured on road trips, I would imagine, but ever have both of them?
No. No, I never had that.
Don't jinx it.
Yeah, that's always kind of the worst nightmare, I would imagine, yeah. right?
No, it can happen. I mean, it could happen. There's no question. You're just going to have to deal with it. Can always call, you know, then you can always fly one in or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, you can always get them
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you can get
third
exactly.
over if you can.
Yes.
And I remember when I was working in Grand Forks, their starting goalie got hurt and they were in Alaska.
Oh.
And they got the third goalie on a plane that night and flew him to Alaska. I can't imagine if he would have had to play.
Yeah.
Flying overnight
oh,
with
boy.
6 hours of or three
no
hours
kidding.
Of difference. I can't imagine he'd be any good, but he was on the bench.
Yeah.
Things you do to get a roster filled out.
Well, and better than, I mean, the other alternative is one of the
yeah, we don't
out
wanna...
players has to play goalie.
Yeah,
it's
just
in peewee.
No? Well, I was going to say.
You mentioned Owen Sillinger. He went over 100 career points a couple of weeks ago at Bowling Green. We're going to talk about stats and what 100 means. And I'm going to kind of morph that in then to this last weekend, too, where Owen did something that I still don't believe that I read it correctly. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Tom Cerruteri Show here at the Tavern on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Eating fit doesn't mean food has to be boring. After your workout, head to the Green Mill for their Eating Fit menu and try tasty entrees like chicken sun-dried tomato pizza with extra thin crust and a zesty lineup of toppings. The Chili Lime Chicken Bowl is packed with flavorful ingredients, including roasted jalapenos and chipotle Tabasco. Or have a chicken stir-fry salad with red peppers, red onions, mushrooms, and more in teriyaki sauce. The Eating Fit menu for a limited time now at the Green Mill in Bemidji. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the Mill.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill.
2021 Coors Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers!
Farming requires well-built equipment. Kubota equipment that's proven for over a century. Tractors that are adaptable and versatile. Hay tools backed by a 2-year warranty. Sidekick and RTV utility vehicles where durability and functionality meet speed. Productive wheeled and track skid steers for the most demanding projects. To see the full line of quality Kubota equipment, visit Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North Bemidji, and ask for a free demo.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Perlow gets it back, fights it into the right side corner. Blue line middle. Rosen a drive, bounces off of somebody. Owen Sillinger gets it back. Owen turns and fires, whips it wide to the right side post. Smolik's got it. Out in front, Owen Sillinger shoots and scores! The 100th career point for Owen Sillinger! Gets the Beavers back to within one.
That goal a couple of weeks ago at Bowling Green. The 100th career point for Owen Sillinger. And Tommy became just the 10th guy in the Division I era to hit 100. Let's get into the time machine here. Back in your days, a elite scorer got how many points? 200?
Oh, no. I would say, oh, that's a good question, Schultz. I would say 125 probably. 120, 130, 140. I mean, I mean, there was guys who went 170, 180, but you take a look at even when I played, how many Beavers have had over 200 points? I don't have it all in front of me right now, by the way. I've never, but Joel did. Alex did. You know, I think maybe, I don't know if Rod Heisler had 100 goals. You know, Mark Eagles had 100 goals. I don't know if they had 200 points. But 200 points is like, that's unbelievable. Even, you know, even back when, you know, that's unbelievable. So that didn't happen a lot either. So I don't know. It's a good question. It's one I don't necessarily know if I can totally answer. But, you know, 100 points is the equivalent of, I don't know. That's a good question, Schultz. Maybe 150, 140. I don't know. But
in this day and age, 100 is
that's exactly
special.
That's kind of what I want to just sit there and preface is that this is a hard – offense is hard this day and age. It's just hard. And 100 points is pretty it's an honor, in my opinion.
You're a stud on the team, I would imagine. I mean, if you look at all the names just at BSU that have done that in the division, I mean, it's all the people you'd expect.
Well, you got to be really consistent. You got to be really consistent over the course of 4 years. And you have to play as a freshman.
Yeah, you have to play as a freshman.
You have to play as a freshman and be good as a freshman. I mean, or if you don't, I mean, you're just going to have to blow up, you know, your last 3 years too, blow up 1 or 2 years. It's just there's a, you know, a lot of things, but I mean, you only can blow up so far. I mean, right now I think the leading point getter in college hockey is 42 points right now, which, you know, if you wanted to rewind 25, 30 years, I mean, they'd probably be at 75, 80 right now, probably. You know what I mean? To put things in perspective, it just tells you how tough it is.
Matt Reed is number one on that list, and you know, if Owen decided to come back for a fifth year, he might get there, but that would even be hard. That tells you what Matt Reed did.
Yeah,
and Matt
Owen will be playing hockey next year. Not, you know,
someplace
for
else.
For a paycheck. He's just going to move on.
For Rito, remember, he's kind of struggled a little bit. He got a little snake bit in his freshman year. He had a lot of posts, missed some nets. It could have been even more if you think about it for Matt.
But he was a freshman, too.
Right.
He was our best player as a freshman.
Well, you could tell he was a special player.
He was the best player the first practice when he came in. He was our best player as a freshman.
What are some of the things that, I mean, obviously you need to be healthy. You need to be productive enough to play, but to just get to 100, you got to put together four really, really good years.
You got to be on the power play. You got to be on the power play, probably for sure 3 years, probably all 4 years too. You got to be on the power. You don't get points unless you're on the power play. So that's the other thing. You got to be on the power play.
Well, and obviously have good line mates. I mean, that makes a big difference. It's not. I mean, obviously it's an individual statistic, but there's
big
a lot
time.
More, as you know, that goes into that.
For sure.
You said something after he got that did stand out to me. You said his 100 points are honest points. Expand on that.
Well, it's like he doesn't cheat defensively. There's players who will cheat defensively, you know, for offense. It's just there's a lot of players that do that. He doesn't. He plays on the right side of the puck. You know, he plays on the right side of the puck. So when you play on the right side of the puck, that means you're thinking defense first. So if you want to cheat for offense. And sometimes you're going to do that, but a lot of guys cheat for offense. They have good instincts. But if you're going to cheat for offense, you're going to let your defensive game go. And he doesn't. He just plays really honest, and he's not, again, he's on the right side of the puck.
Well, you can tell. I mean, if you've ever watched hockey, I mean, the two-way player, and obviously it becomes more and more, I think, important in this day and age, and more of a focus. But we all know the players that have maybe not committed so much to defense and are worried about offense in every sport, you could say.
For sure.
I think something like that. But obviously you've had a track record where there are a lot of two-way players, it's almost a requirement, I would think, for the most part.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to turn your head a little bit. I mean, offensive guys are offensive guys. There's not a lot of them. And there's a reason they're offensive guys. This is the way it is.
Right.
So, I mean, you got, you know, but you just have to, there's times that, you know, you guys got to pick your spots, I guess is probably the best way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, and you're probably not going to turn down a 130-point getter for the fact that they don't play as good a defense.
Well, it's just, again, there's just certain things that go into it. There's just certain things that go into it, guys. But they're honest points. He's on the right side of the puck is all I'm getting at all the time. So when you're on the right side of the puck, it's just hard. You're not on the offensive side. You're on the defensive side of the puck. So to go from the defensive side of the puck to offense, you know, isn't easy. But, you know, he understands that. You know, it's a team game, and You know, he's really well rounded as a player, really well rounded.
Does your top line center have to be the most two-way player?
I don't know. I mean, it sure helps. I mean, it's probably the reason why they're your number one center, because there's trust. You have to have trust, and when you have trust in somebody, you play them a lot. And so, I don't necessarily know if it has to. Yeah, I don't know. It all depends on your roster, quite honestly, Schultze. I mean, but it kind of plays out that way.
All right. Let's then look back to last Friday night. The postgame stats got handed to me, and I'm looking, and all right, there's 54 faceoffs in the game. And math is not allowed in a Beaver Radio Network broadcast. But Owen Sillinger took 27 of them. And I know that's half.
Yeah.
He won 20.
Wow.
There are a lot of guys that aren't going to win 20 faceoffs in a weekend, Tom.
No question.
Can you get a feel for that stat as it's happening and just keep throwing them out there?
Because I've been watching it for 4 years. And no, he's a 55 to 60% face-off guy. And, no, it's an important – again, that's another important, you know, characteristic, another attribute that Owen makes – Owen's such a good player.
Well, and I think, again, we always talk about face-offs, and so hopefully it's not so underrated to Beaver Nation on the Beaver Radio Network. But, I mean, it's important to the game. How much do they practice that, or is it just more –
We practice it. We don't go – it's not like – You know, we always do a game day skate. We'll always do it Thursday tomorrow. You know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, they get their reps in. But we don't, like, it's not like, yeah, we don't practice at a ton, that's for sure.
Now, you've got set plays? Would that be correct? As to where the puck's going to go? Not necessarily after that, but the puck's going to back right?
If we win the draw, what are we doing if we lose the draw? Are we forechecking our inside guy on a loss? Are we forechecking our outside guy on a loss? We always have center on center. You know, are we going to run a normal faceoff play? Are we going to maybe do a one-timer, a deactivate? You know, we got a scissors play. Like, we've got certain, you know, but, you know, sometimes, too, you got to watch how many faceoff plays you have, because guys are more worried about where they're supposed to go if they win the faceoff versus how intense we're going to be if we lose the faceoff. So it's a fine line sometimes. I get frustrated with faceoff plays sometimes because, and again, I call them. Don't get me wrong, but I call them. But just sometimes you can lose focus on just winning the faceoff or just losing it. So sometimes
you just overthink,
win the face.
It,
yes,
maybe?
Exactly. Yeah. You can overcoach and you can overthink it. You can be over gimmicky. Win the faceoff back and pound it. I mean, I'll use even Ferris. They won the one faceoff. It was normal. They were inverted, which we called a normal. They won it back. The guy comes around the arc and blew it by Gavin Enright. And you know what? You know, whatever. But that's a good faceoff play. You win the faceoff, whether it's back to the point, back to your guy, and get a shot on net, see what happens. And if we lose it, let's get it back. So sometimes we can overcomplicate the game, and it kind of goes in spurts. And then you better make sure if you're going to do face-off plays, you better do it with a guy that you know, like Owen, who's going to be 55% or 60%. But to tell one of our guys we're 45% on the dot to try this face-off play, I just want to win in the face-off. So we're going to talk about winning, doing a face-off play when they don't even win 50% of their face-offs. You know where I'm coming from.
Right.
So you got to watch yourself sometimes that you don't get too gimmicky, is, I guess, the best way of putting it.
Owen will be our player profile for Friday night's pregame show. We go into a lot of that. That also, the video will be posted onto Facebook tomorrow. So you can get some of the intricacies of what happens leading up to and then right after the puck gets dropped. But, Tom, can you share the story? Third period Friday night. And you put Erie Vaisanen out in the offensive zone face-off, and the look you got from Owen.
Oh, yeah, Owen gave me like, what do you, Tom, get me out there. And I just like, and it was Hallinen's line out there, Bliss, Hallinen, and Parentino. And I'm just going, I got it. You know, if I'm going to put those guys out there every now, I can't play them the whole game. I'm going to put them out on an offensive zone face-off, so at least it's 200 feet from our net. And so, you can't play him, you know, 100% of the time, but he wants to play. That's what I love about Owen. He wants to play. It's kind of like the football player that wants the ball in his hand. You know, he wants to play in all situations. He wants to play instead of playing 23 minutes, he wants to play 28 minutes. So I respect that out of him so much. And there's times, too. Hey, there's been times, too, that I have said, hey, go out there because I can't. I'm too gassed, too. So yeah, you know,
how many times does he jump over the wall without you even telling him to?
Well, you know, obviously there's things they know. First penalty kill, him and Somoza. I don't need to say anything. No question. And then obviously late in the game, I mean, he's jumping over the boards with a lot of face offs. When I got to use him in critical situations.
How much of evaluating a player, and specifically a center, do you look at what they do face-off-wise? Did you
Not
know
much.
You were getting a great face-off?
Oh, yeah. Well, we got Owen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, we knew we were getting a well-rounded player. We knew that he had depth to his game. Absolutely.
But when you're scouting him, it's not a big factor?
Yes, it's a big factor. Absolutely. If you can get a player like him, you're all over it. No question. That's a big puzzle piece.
How much of the amount of times that you use him is now dictated because of after icing and after penalties, you get to pick which face-off circle you want, and he's going to say, I'm on the left, and I'm going out there.
Yeah, it's the left dot. But when Ross is on the power play with him, Ross will be on the right dot. You know, Ross will want the right dot. So that's the one thing when Ross is healthy, you can be a little versatile right there, which is nice. And Ross is really good on face-offs as well.
They're two different body styles, too. Ross is kind of long and lanky, where that can, I think, cause you some – there's some pros and cons to that on a face-off. And being
a good leverage,
lower
though.
Center of gravity can help you.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So it's interesting that two completely different body types, two different kind of guys, can both be successful at the same play.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of it's an attitude and commitment, too. A lot of it's attitude and commitment. Yeah.
Well, from taking a lot of face-offs myself, a lot of it seemed to be timing as well. I mean, obviously, you're trying to keep an eye on when that puck is going to be dropped down. There's so much more to it now, though, Tom, from when I played and you played, with the rules around face-offs, it was a little bit more ad hoc, almost anything went.
So, yeah, now there's rules.
You got
hash marks. You've got penalties if you're going to encroach. You know what I mean? So you got to watch. There's a lot of things you got to watch out for right now.
A lot more to worry about than
sure.
what we were. I was just thinking about how I can win, and I don't care how I have to necessarily cheat to do that.
Exactly.
You didn't
bend the rules,
you
I should say.
You didn't care if you cheated. I'm stunned, Vince.
Yeah. Hey.
Absolutely stunned at that.
All for the cause, right? To win the face-off.
Exactly.
And I think it's underrated because as a center, I mean, I can remember face-offs still to this day that I won and lost. You remember those things. Not every single one, obviously, because you're taking a lot of them, but you remember face-offs.
Who's your... Aside from Owen and Ross, are guys as particular, right circle or left?
Yeah, you always want to be on you're always stronger on your backhand, Schultzy. So it's pretty cut and dry. A lefty wants to be on the left dot, a righty wants to be on the right dot. Because you want to win it back towards the boards.
But do other guys care as much as those two guys?
No, they all do.
Specifically?
No, they all do, for sure. It's pretty automatic.
Well, and, there's also where you're going to put your wings. You know, sometimes in the offensive zone.
We're in normals most of the time. Where will we be inverted? We're going to be, we're going to be probably a foot and a half off the hash mark. That's about all. Probably a foot and a half off each hash mark. We want to be inverted unless you got two lefties or two righties as your wings. So, I mean, unless we're running a unique face-off play, but we want to keep our structure somewhat consistent.
Does it matter which D pairs you have out there, being right-handed or left-handed? Depending on which circle?
Yes. I shouldn't say no. It's because a centerman has to, at the end of the day, we want to win the faceoff. So we have to worry what the strength of the centerman is, not the strength of the D pairings. And, we got lefties on every – I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, we got lefties, whether they're coming to the inside or whether they're going to be on their forehand or their offhand, that doesn't matter. Biggest thing is we want to win that tap. But there's certain face-off plays. I thought that's what you're getting at, Schultzy. There's certain face-off plays that we're going to do, like ones that are deactivate, which we do a lot with Rosie. And, we got to be on the left dot for that because Rosie's left-handed, for example.
How often do you want on a clean face-off win, a shot from the defenseman?
Almost every time. Absolutely. Get it through and let's get after. That's, again, let's just 100%.
Well, you win the faceoff ideally as a center. You know, win the faceoff, then you're heading to the net to create, obviously some havoc
and everybody's going to
redirect.
There's just going to be some traffic, and you always want to have a high layer we always want to have a high layer as well. So, because if you have a high layer, it creates probably you got a little more space to get the shot through. If you get everybody going to the net, it doesn't get through. It just says there's just too much traffic. So then there's things you have to do. And typically our centerman's not really attacking the net. Our wall wingers really got to get to the our wall wingers got to get to the net, and he's got to try to beat his defenseman to the net. And that's the biggest thing is our wall winger and our inside winger get them to the net. We're not as concerned with our centerman because a centerman is not going to have the time to get to the net. They got to concentrate on winning the faceoff, and a lot of times after they win the faceoff, they're in a tough spot. They're still in a battle. They're in a battle situation.
Tied up. They're tied up.
It happens too fast. Is all I'm getting at, guys. Where the wingers have a lot easier time to get to the net.
Now in your defensive zone, so obviously the opposing team is trying to do the same thing, drop back to their defenseman. Is it the board wing that's trying to get to the defenseman to?
We switch all the time because teams will adapt to what you're doing.
Yeah, block you out a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But we typically go with our inside winger, and we want our inside winger attacking the dot on no matter what. You're just guessing. We're attacking the dot in case there's loose change. We call it loose change, a loose puck.
Yep.
And he can bat it back or whatever. But if the puck goes obviously in the corner, he can go get it. So. Ethan Samoza is really good at puck recovery. Like if we lose a faceoff on the offensive zone, I get it back quick. He's got tenacity, he's got quickness, you know, and he's, you got to have, and he cares. Like it's not fun all the time, but he does things the right way. Ethan's really good at that.
With no set standard on a college hockey rink, some zones some offensive zones are a little bigger. So you got a little more room from the top of the circle to the blue line. Does that dictate what kind of a set play you might run?
No, I don't.
Just because you got room, or you might not have room?
Not really. We don't worry about that.
Are there any audibles where the center is lining up and says you've called one play and sees something and changes it?
We're pretty ham and egg guys. Just again, we run normals and just try to win it back. If we can win it back to our winger, come around and get a shot around the arc, or kick it back to the defenseman, or if we win it back to the D. You know, a lot of times you got to help the centerman and kick it back to the D. We don't have it. It's not like we're calling plays like football all the time. Again, like I said, you got to watch yourself. When you start doing that too much, guys are worried about things other than winning the actual faceoff. So you got to watch yourself that you don't get too gimmicky, like I said. You know, you just got to, just win
the draw. Keep it simple, right?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, just don't over. Yeah, exactly. Win the faceoff. Let's get it through. Let's attack the net. Let's try to, make something happen on a rebound. And, that's what you got to do.
Beaver head hockey coach Tom Ceratori, our guest tonight, the Tom Ceratori Show, every Wednesday night at 6. The Beavers will take on Northern Michigan this weekend at the Sanford Center. We have several pairs of tickets to give away, both Friday and Saturday. We've got tavern gift cards to give away as well. This has got stuffed mushrooms.
Tom got a
Patty melt.
The patty melt with jalapenos. Man, that thing looks delicious.
Yeah.
We got to have one of those one of these days.
It does look nice. Mm.
I always just stick with wings because they're so darn good.
I hear you. The
choices,
tacos,
I tell
you. There's lots of good food here to try.
We're going to give away some stuff. We'll be back. More of the Tom Ceratori Show coming up next at the Tavern right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Paul Bunyan Communications fiber-powered solutions with our local expertise gives your small business the edge. Fiber data solutions provide the fastest, most reliable internet available with a range of gigazone symmetrical speed options up to 10 gig. Our business class voice services offer customizable plans to match your needs, and we offer business IT service and support. Customize your business solutions. Contact the experienced team at Paul Bunyan Communications today.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. Five classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas, live effortlessly.
You dream.
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. I'm Alan Zutz, a financial advisor with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the next steps for your unique situation. Call Alan, Sandra, or Rice at 218-444-0202 to get started. That's Alan Zutz, Thrivent Financial, 218-444-0202.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern, the Tom Cerruteri Show here on the Beaver Radio Network.
We're back now. Busy giving stuff away, eating, talking about...
Yes, we're back.
The jalapenos on Tom's Burger.
We're back.
We're back.
How's this, Doug? Doug's been, you know what?
Critiquing your microphone.
I got the peanut gallery giving me a hard time right now.
Hey, we appreciate everybody coming out.
We do.
I mean, it is a chilly night, so good to see so many people out.
You see, we have the Ice Deads and the Rickers over here, too.
Today is a big day.
But they're not listening, you know.
The other peanut gallery is ignoring you.
Yeah.
Big day. It's National Signing Day for college football teams. I was just at the Brent Bolte press conference. 25 new recruits signed, including four Bemidji kids.
And I saw all the tweets.
And he goes, didn't have to go far for this next one. He goes, I went to my basement. His kid.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's also National Girls and Women in Sports Day, and former Beaver women's hockey player Tina Campa is getting an award in the Twin Cities today. She and someone else in the cities have started two youth hockey teams, one U10, one U12, specifically for girls that, because of family circumstances, be it, you know, there's some homeless, some, you know, separated families and such where they wouldn't have any possible way of playing hockey, they can come and play on this team.
Cool.
So congratulations to Tina Campa as well. So it's a big day. And Beaver Athletics Director Tracy Dill will be on here in their second hour. He's announced his retirement effective this summer. So it's a busy show. Northern Michigan comes to... Sorry, miss. Northern Michigan comes to town this weekend, Tom. It seems like forever ago that we were in Marquette. Refresh even my memory. What their roster looks like from last year, because they were a dang good hockey team the end of last season.
Oh, boy, they really were. You know what? They've got they have three defensemen, actually all fifth-year guys, Hanson, Cosgrove, and Newhouse. They play a ton. Vanderbeck's leading our league in goals. He's just got a heck of a shot. Probably he's the most dangerous shooter in our league. Hank Crone's really good. Gantos, they've got some really good offensive players, boy, and they're good offensively. They're a rush offense team. They've scored 38 goals so far this year on the rush. I heard that stat last night, actually, when I was watching the Tech Northern game, and that's unbelievable, 38 goals on the rush. This day and age, it's just there's not many rush teams because people have numbers back, but that's their MO, and they're good on the rush, and part of that's predicated on them playing on Olympic ice as well.
Well, record-wise, they've struggled a little bit, right? What are they, sixth?
No, no.
What are they, sixth?
I don't know, but they're 14-11. I mean, they've swept BU, swept Duluth. They got some. I don't know what they are in our league, but
yeah,
they're 14-11.
Way down in the league.
Well, they might be fifth, but everything's so tight, So I don't look at that, but there's just some numbers, but they're 14-11, and again, a sweep over BU and a sweep over Duluth.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah,
sweep over Colgate. No, they're a good hockey team. They're a good hockey team.
Grant Pitolny, how long has he been there?
I think this is year four or five. I can't remember. One of the two. Does a good job.
Yeah.
They had talked about adding women's hockey. I haven't heard diddly squat about it since. Is that on the back burner?
I don't know either, Schultz. That's a good question. But that was a few years back, wasn't it?
Well, COVID probably stopped all the discussion for a while.
Well, the biggest problem they had is they needed to build a basketball arena.
Yeah.
Their basketball team plays at the hockey rink.
Oh,
so they can't.
Well, that's
legitimately
odd.
They can't play four sets of teams in one building. It's hard enough with basketballs and the one hockey.
And they got their hockey on one side. The whole side is hockey.
How does Northern Michigan compare to Michigan Tech? Student base wise, bigger, smaller, same?
I don't know that they're a little bigger, aren't they, Schultze?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're a little bit bigger enrollment wise.
They're about 90 miles apart and they can't stand each other.
Well,
it's a good rivalry.
Yes.
Great rivalry.
Yeah, of course.
Great rivalry.
They have, because of COVID now, 2 years in a row had to make up games between each other, which in this league, it's about the only two teams that you could. They're playing on Tuesday. So they played Tech last night. And then they'll play their regular series this coming weekend. And then they're going to play Tech and Northern are going to play again next Tuesday.
To make up
games from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you're right. Those are probably the only two in the league that can get away with it.
Yeah.
Easy compared to maybe BSU Mankato.
We could with St. Thomas.
St. Thomas.
Mankato and St. Thomas. Ferris and BG probably could as well.
Well, you guys made it work with Lake State last year on a Monday and a Tuesday.
Well, I mean, you played every day.
Yeah, but
we
had that built in too, Schultze. We don't have it built in this year. We had an open weekend, so we had that built in that which helped. Looking back at it, I was wondering if we should have that built in this year, but we just said the heck with it though. We just said if we can't get games in, we just got to go by points percentage.
Right. Yeah.
And the women's league is doing that.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
WCHA is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. And hey, and if you can make it up, great. If you can't because of, because of the, geography, the heck with it.
Kind of a special teams team is Northern.
Very good. Their power plays, they're dangerous. Their power plays very dangerous. So, I mean, that's really dangerous. You got good power play players, boy. Yeah. Stay out of the box.
Are they more of a speed team
or
physical?
They're a rush offense team.
Okay.
They're a rush offense team.
Do they puck pressure kind of like your
yeah,
guys?
I mean,
a
I
lot
think,
of forecheck?
Yeah, I think they get after it. I mean, most teams do. Most teams are, they pressure the puck, but they're really good on the rush. It's part of it is because they play on Olympic ice. It's a little easier, being a good rush team, and they play to their strengths, and they recruit to their rink. And, they've got some dangerous, dangerous players.
How is their game different when you get them on a small sheet?
I don't think it's much different. I mean, there's not as much space, obviously, but, they can get to pucks. They can make plays. That's the one thing. These guys can make plays. The one thing that's been unique about Northern Michigan this year is that they played a lot of home games. I think every one of their non-conference games so far have been at home. Duluth, Colgate, BU, Notre Dame. They're seven. They've all been at home, so they've played a lot of home games.
Wow, how did they get those folks?
It all goes in cycles. Like, you know, they got to return.
Return visits.
So it just happened to
catch up.
You know, but eventually, I mean,
they've got to go back on the road.
They've either went there already, or they're going to go back there too. So I mean,
right? Crazy.
It's just the way things played out. And you know what? I think with COVID last year and not having non-conference games, I think there was a lot of interference there too, and it just happened to. Wasn't really, I don't think Grant wanted it that way. I just think it played out that way because of makeup games. Makeup, you know.
How do they compare to Michigan Tech, who you just faced?
Oh, again, every team has got strengths, you know. And, you know, they're a little different team than Tech. Again, I think I've said rush offense probably six times right here, but they're a rush offense
team. You say that, but as opposed to Tech, who, you know, has got a lot of speed, and they're obviously moving the puck up the ice.
Yeah, but we just, like, there's a lot of us. We're just not as threatening on the rush. We aren't, you know, and most teams aren't.
When you say rush, you mean like, you know, coming up the ice, immediately making an impact versus maybe setting up in the offensive zone?
Yeah, exactly. They just, again, you know, they're a team. They really rely on turnovers. You know, when there's turnovers, they're in pretty good spots to counterattack. And so a lot of it's predicated, you know, with that.
Similar to like a basketball fast break offense.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good analogy, actually. It's a really good analogy. More of a fast break team. It's a good way of putting it.
Tommy, you weren't very good on the fast break last Friday.
No.
There were half a dozen odd man rushes and one goal.
Yeah.
Just frustrating.
If we got to pop that first one, that breakaway, and then the second one, he knocked a stick out of Piedla's hands right there. So, no, we were close. Actually, we had a lot of good chances on Friday. But we were still chasing the game.
For those that have maybe never been to Marquette, their old arena, Lakeview Arena, is across the parking lot from the new one. I can't imagine games against Michigan State when they were all in the CCHA in Lakeview Arena. That place had to be rocking.
Well, I played in there with St. Cloud. We were in Lydia. That was crazy. No, it was a fun. It was a fun building. It was loud. I mean, it was loud. And that was right after they won the national tournament. I mean, it's an intimidating building, small building. They were big. They could run you right out of Lakeview. They could run you right out of Lakeview. No, they were scary. They were scary, and they were scary in that building.
They didn't tear it down.
No.
It's a city rink now.
Oh, okay.
In fact, Beavers, when going on long trips, say to Lake State
Stop
or maybe to Ferris,
practice?
We'll practice at Lakeview. And I stay into the warming house because that rink is cold.
It's like Nymor?
Well,
no.
Nothing is that cold.
Well, that's reassuring to know. I always thought Nymor was the coldest rink ever. Everybody would always say it's got really good ice, though, and I'm like, I mean, who cares if you're frostbit? I mean, good Lord.
Exactly.
Lake State in the 80s, Northern in the 90s.
You know what? The Lake State won two national championships in the 90s, 94 and 95,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
The UP had it going back then.
Big time.
Not that long ago. I mean, you think.
Okay. Tech was 91, I think, wasn't it, or 92, their championship. But I think maybe it was 93 and 95 Lake State. Whatever, but we're close. So, you know,
I think it was 93-95 for Lake.
Yeah, and 91, I'm thinking 91 or 92. I can't, 91 or 92 for Northern.
And Michigan Tech's won three in the 50s and 60s.
They won one in 75, too.
But Tech is playing in their 101st season this year, Bess.
God, isn't that crazy?
Been playing college hockey for 101 years.
It makes you wonder who they played in 1920.
Probably not many universities. Maybe Michigan or something, but there probably is, you know, probably might have been amateur teams and things
Thunder
like that.
Thunder Bay.
Or just Calumet. I mean, Calumet had an old rink. They probably had games right around in the Upper Peninsula, honestly.
I mean, wherever you can train to, or maybe snowmobile. Did they have snowmobiles in 1920? I bet maybe. They didn't have very many cars, I don't think. There weren't necessarily roads.
Well, you think back even to when R.H., his first road trip was to Lake State. In a bus in 1966? Going to Sault Ste. Marie, are you kidding me? I want nothing to do with that trip.
Yeah, I mean, you hope you have heat the whole way, I would imagine, right?
Could not have
been. Well, my thing is, just I don't know. Did they have bathrooms on the bus back then?
Oh, good point. They probably didn't.
I don't know. Probably. I'm sure they did, didn't they?
You think? No.
Beats me.
Was technology that advanced yet? I don't know.
Could not have been a pleasant trip to Sault Ste. Marie in 1966. I know that for a fact.
No, I agree with you.
Well, you got to have a passion to want to play hockey, right?
True.
And take the games where you could get them back then, especially.
Tom, with about a month left or so in the regular season, you obviously want the guys to get on a roll, but yet you don't seem that far off. Anything's still possible with this team, isn't it?
Absolutely. We got good players, and we got a good hockey team, and we can do a lot, Schultze. Absolutely.
See you at the rink this weekend, Tom.
All right, guys.
Tom Ceratori, head coach of the Beavers. They will host Northern Michigan at the Sanford Center this Friday and Saturday. We'll come back with Beaver Director of Athletics, Tracy Dill. It's when we come back. It's the Tom Ceratori Show and the Coach's Huddle right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. We use fresh veggies because we don't hate salads. We just feel bad for them. We make our sandwiches exactly how you want because you're the one who's eating it. And we bake bread all day, every day because stale bread isn't bread. It's croutons. Sandwich history is written by the victors. Good thing we have legible handwriting. Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order pickup or delivery on the app.
What's up, y'all? This is Chase Rice hanging outdoors with an ice-cold Mountain Dew. You know, it's easy to tell who really loves the outdoors. One thing, there's a rack on your car and a hitch on the back of your truck. There's a garage full of toys from wakeboards to dirt bikes. And there's a cooler full of Mountain Dew, always at the ready. Because when it's time to get out and do, you know, hit the lake or the deer stand, a cooler of Mountain Dew, that's as important a piece of outdoor gear as your four-wheeler or your fishing rod. Mountain Dew. Do the Dew.
Are you sick of running outside to warm up your car? This winter cold is no joke. Warm up your vehicle with the touch of a button on a remote car starter from Detail Plus. Call 444-7587 to schedule your installation today. Need glass repaired? They can do that too from Chandler's Auto Glass. They work with all insurance companies and take care of that pesky paperwork. And with any windshield replacement, you receive a free mini car detail. Visit online detailplusbemidji.com or call 444-PLUS.
Hi, Dan the Chevy man. Oops, I mean Dan the GM man here. That's right, we have Buick, GMC, along with the full Chevrolet lineup. As we are finally coming out of the pandemic, now is the time to come see the Donlinger difference. We have a lot of new and pre-owned vehicles arriving daily. You are sure to find the vehicle you want. Also, don't forget about our excellent customer service, full body shop, and dependable parts and service departments. For all your automotive needs, remember Donlinger GM in Bemidji, Chevy. Find new roads.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tavern. Tom Ceratori Show and the Coach's Huddle here on the Beaver Radio Network. 8 games this weekend on the Beaver Radio Network. Basketball teams at home. Men's hockey is at home. Women's hockey on the road at Minnesota.
And we're joined by the short timer. Right?
I don't know what I'd say.
Short timer.
Tracy's got short timer's disease yet. But Beaver Director of Athletics Tracy Dill with us. Announced your retirement. Effective this summer. I remember your introductory press conference, Tracy. It doesn't seem that long ago, but then you look back at the calendar, you're like, wow, a lot's happened since then.
9 years it'll be. So, yeah. Yeah. It's I remember my first day I started here was June 3rd, 2013.
Wow.
And I remember the day, pretty vividly. I remember walking down to the what is now called the Fred Baker Training Center. And at that time, June 3rd was the first day for summer workouts could begin. And I was all excited to go down and see, you know, if we had some students around working out and that type of thing. And I went down there and I thought, wow, we only got, I counted less than 20 kids. And I went and chatted to him, told him thanks. I said, you need to get your teammates here. And I said, we need to, if we're going to get better. But then I saw the facilities and I decided it was time we needed to get a better facility, and we were able to get that done. So that's been good, and now our numbers in the summers have drastically shot up, and some is because of coaching and coaches making an emphasis for it too. But that was my first day on the job, and I said, well, I can either go crawl in the corner and get in the fetal position and hold myself, or I can just say it's time that we're going to take it right and move ahead. And that's what we chose to do. And honestly, I know I announced that I was going to retire on July 1st of this summer, but I really haven't had a lot of time to think about it, other than with my wife. We've talked a lot about doing things, but for the next 5 months, you know, I'm still got a pretty busy calendar of things that I want to try to get it done and make it better for not only for the next person, but the kids coming back and that. So
the Fred Baker facility is one of the easiest things to look at and physically see a drastic improvement and a major difference. What's one of the things maybe behind the scenes that you're most proud of the last 9 years that maybe nobody else has seen?
Well, I always believe it comes down to people, and I think in our department we've got people that are really good, work hard, love BSU, which I think is really important too, and they'll spend the extra time to do what it takes to get the job done. We have to do things a little bit differently. We're not staffed at the level of some of our competitors, but not using that as an excuse. It's just the way it is. Every business is a little bit different, and you can't sit and complain about it. We all like to win, or do the best we can and be competitive, and that's kind of the thrust of what we try to do. I give our coaches credit. We could have, you know, set back when in March of 20, and when this all started, and we chose the other direction, you know, try to be as aggressive but safe. I want to emphasize that too. We wanted to be aggressive and be able to compete, train, do all the things that needed to be done to get better, and more importantly, still be able to get students, recruits, to come to our campus and see the beauty of what we offer at BSU. And I am extremely proud of, to see the aggressiveness that we've been able to do. 2017 or 18, we were like 359 student athletes. And right now we're about 440 for student numbers. Which is
like half of that's on the women's basketball team alone.
Well, she's yeah, that with Chelsea, that's true. One of the things is she's such a good coach and creates such a good culture among her team. People just love being there with them and doing it. So I don't know any other way to put it. She does a great job that way. But it's going to be a fun time, you know, for us. But we plan to be, you know, live in Bemidji. We like it. When we moved here, we chose it because not only of the university and the job and everything like that, but we kind of liked this area and liked what it offered and that. Some days when I walk outside right now, I go, or the snow comes blowing in off the lake and it drifts your driveway in again, and and that, but hey, it's all part of it, and it's a short time, and the beauty's coming. The water's going to be open here, and what do you think, Bish?
I agree. I'm totally addicted. I mean, I came here 30 years ago to go to school, and I never left, and I was a city boy.
I know, and it's really when you think about it, it's really a small world that we all live in, and we meet so many different people. And athletics has afforded myself that opportunity, but it's no different than somebody like in your business at Paul Bunyan Communications, and the amount of people that you meet. And that's really what I'm looking forward to, is kind of rekindle some of the stuff that I haven't been able to do as much, is get out and see people that the one thing in athletics that you got to remember, I've been there for 41 years, but I work a lot of Saturdays and
Sundays.
Yeah,
nights and weekends. Yep. Yeah, you bet.
A lot of them. And, but honestly, that's my biggest fear right now.
What to do on weekends?
What are you going
to
do on the weekend? Oh, no, you'll figure that out pretty quick.
Oh, I think I will. But if there's a fear I have of retirement, it's that I've been, how do I decompress from constantly on the go.
And how can you enjoy a game as a non-athletic director, right?
Well,
it's going to be different.
It's always difficult for me to go to a sporting event and just watch it as a fan.
Yeah.
Because I coach for so long,
right,
that I don't look at it like that. And do I enjoy? Have I enjoyed watching the NFL games? Yeah, I have. I will say I did those past two weekends and watching the Packers.
Those are the best two weekends.
Unbelievable.
In the NFL playoffs, maybe ever.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
They were phenomenal. And just goes to show you what good coaching, how parity in that league at the top. Because the wild card games weren't great, but at the top, I mean, it's amazing. So. But, yeah, there's a lot of really, really talented teams, man.
Well, if you look at your career here over the last 9 years, you know, you've seen a lot of success in a lot of different programs. I mean, obviously, the football team this past year doing something they've never done, although they've been on the cusp, it seems, like for 20 years.
Yeah.
The hockey team made the national tournament a year ago. I mean, just within the last year. Women's basketball seems to have turned that corner.
Soccer,
obviously, yeah. I mean, so a lot of different on the field or on, you know, the pitch or whatever, or on the ice accomplishments during your career here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, every one of those, but I've also seen improvement in, you know, like our track and field program has made improvement. Tennis definitely has made improvement in that area as well. I think you're going to start seeing it in softball and baseball, too. We had to restructure a little bit of how we did some things in there. But we still had great people in our programs that have been doing that. The overall, you know, and you don't want to say who's done it. Soccer, by far, has been our most accomplished team. I mean, just from the talent level that they have, he's got some horses that can flat play, and he will wait to see what he has next year.
Well, a lot of consistency there now.
They're going to be really good.
In and out, I mean, the last several years now, they're a top of the country type of program.
Yeah, and Chelsea's been able to recruit really high-end kids, too, now, and you know, and Brent today had, you know, another signing date today, and being an old football coach, somebody always said, well, you think you're recruiting class, and I always just said, well, 2 years later, I'll tell you, because it takes that long to get developed. But it just seems like, you know, just looking at on paper, they've been able to, success has allowed them to attract some pretty good kids.
Safe for me to assume, Tracy, that as an athletic director, you've got to be happy with the direction that the program is going and the path that you've put it on in order to say, I can walk away from it. Where maybe if there was still stuff that was bugging you, for lack of a better term, maybe you'd not make the decision to retire. Is that safe?
No, anybody can be replaced. So trust me, I've always lived with that philosophy that puts the fear of God into you to make sure that you do your job, you know, you try to. Because I truly believe that it takes a whole group to do it. I mean, there's so many things that we you know, there's no doubt renovation of the stadium is got to happen down the road here. The gym, it needs I call it tender love and care, but it could be pretty cool in there with some just quick remodels looks to it, and it'd allow us a facility. I always say it allows you a facility to recruit to, you know, and you know, I'm talking facilities on campus, but you think about Sanford Center is, what, 11 years old now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to have to look at things just to keep that fresh as well, you know, because that's, you know, I mean, you got to, it's the eyeball test on recruits. That's an initial thing. It is for your campus, too. So whatever you can do to make curb appeal, it's like selling the house, you know.
Doesn't hurt it's on a lake, I can tell you that.
No. But you've got to, you know, that's why it's so important that we're active in the summer.
How much did COVID play a role in you coming back? Were you going to retire earlier, or was that a non-factor? This was kind of the plan all along. Because I know you, and you're committed. You felt you should stick around because of all the curveballs that COVID threw, you would do that.
I originally would have probably retired a year ago, but honestly, I'm glad I didn't. I didn't want to put our coaches in that situation because it's not easy. It's not easy to mitigate through all the issues because they change all the time. They still are.
Oh yeah.
Trust me, they still are. And I was on calls this week. And we're in three separate leagues, so every time something changes, you got to make bylaw changes or not, you called it return to play protocols. You got to rechange those all, and then it just constantly changes. And I think we're going to see a lot of change. Not I think change for the better. It'd be more normal in the spring. I that's my prediction anyway. That's what I'm hoping maybe. But I keep hearing good things through the Sports Science Institute people. And that's what I hope happens.
We're all hoping for that.
Yeah. Absolutely want to see normal play.
What is the process for finding your replacement?
Well,
will you have anything to do with it?
No, I don't want to. What I want is... the next president of the university, the university will have a search committee like they have to do for all searches. And then as that search committee goes through the whole process, they should visit with the new president, which I know that's going to happen. And the new president, he or she, can have an impact on.
When is Faith done?
June 30th.
Okay.
Same time
as you, right? Because that's the end of the fiscal year for the state university.
Fiscal year
system.
is for July 1 to June 30th. So that's how it all works. So, and honestly, I wanted, because it's, you know, you want to make sure that whoever the new person is coming in, they have their own slate. So you don't want to leave and have them finish out something they didn't start, you know, and I want to make sure that as a state employee who's been in it for this many years, that I do my part to make sure that we follow through with what we said we were going to do financially and that type of thing. So,
well, and of course, people are familiar with, you know, giving them a 2 weeks notice. But in the system that you guys have and the positions that you have, like, I mean, Faith announced her retirement, you know, several months ago to give time, right, for the process to work itself out.
The system office for college presidents is a year. You have to give your notice in a year in advance. And, I mean, for athletic directors and ministers 9 months to do it. Honestly, that's the fair way to go about doing it too, because you gotta. It takes time to do. State jobs don't.
Right.
It takes a process.
Different than the private sector.
Oh my Lord.
Which can be frustrating. But will yep. you? You know, I think you know people again think, okay, you put in that much notice. Are you? Would you be the person to help train the person in for a month? That's not really how it works, right? You leave, and the next person comes in.
Well.
I mean, not honestly, that you're not there for a resource,
No, honestly, if there was some overlap in it to do, I'd be all over that.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's how most private sector businesses do it. I know they're already planning for when I might retire.
Yep.
And that's several years away, but, you know, that you they want to be able to have me play a role in, for lack of a better term, training the person that's coming in.
Yeah. So that's exactly... Exactly the process, you know, if something happens that way. I mean, there's going to be, this is a good job. They're going to get a really good person to come in, and I'll be more than happy to if I'm not going to step on anybody's toes.
But when asked, called upon to ask, answer a question.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. My cell phone's still there, still be the same. So,
now, how many grandkids do you have?
Just one.
Just one, okay.
Just one, yep.
All right.
Yeah,
boy or girl?
He's a boy. He'll be 5 in April.
You ready to get spoiled a little bit more by Grandpa and Grandma?
Oh yeah, yeah. We loved love taking him out
more
on the
time for that
on the pontoon on the lake. Yeah, and take him out in the water and do that. Yeah, he loves that. Yeah. So yeah, we do. We're looking forward to it, and you know we'll probably look at doing something. You know, a little bit in the winter to get away, but I don't blame you, man.
I'm thinking about doing something. I'm not even retired.
But, you know, honestly, I don't, trust me on this, I do not dislike the cold weather like some people detest it. Now I complain a little bit, but honestly, it doesn't.
Nobody likes 30 below.
Yeah, we wouldn't live here if you couldn't handle, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Some years better than others.
That's why you have heat in your garage when you want to flip it on.
There you go.
And I got a remote on
that's
my car.
That's a remote car starter, and that's why they come with all these great winter jackets now.
It's unbelievable.
You can make do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Tracy, was there any aspects of this job that were a pleasant surprise to you that maybe you thought might be a challenge and turned out that it wasn't, or something that you didn't even know was going to be part of the gig that turned out to be part of the gig that you really liked?
Well, you know, I'd been in the state system before 28 years at St. Cloud in much bigger staffing, when I was there. So we kind of had, in the athletic department there, we had everybody was all encumbered into, so we had someone doing business and the tickets and all this stuff was all, it'd be a shoe we didn't have that. And honestly, I'm kind of glad we don't. I've developed really good relationships with the business office, different people in there, some great people. And I've had financial aid, registrar office, where we've been able to meet. And, I think that's what makes BSU special, is because we have some close-knit areas on campus. And I think that's kind of the cool thing about it. And if you look at our campus, we can do some pretty cool things because of where we're at. And we were just had a meeting yesterday. We were just talking some concept thinking on fundraising and some ideas. But there's some really cool things that we could do on that campus. And I think they'll start happening too. I really do. I'll be a volunteer helping do it. How about that?
I thought you were going to say for sure one of the biggest surprises was that being able to work with the awesome people at the Beaver Radio Network, Tracy.
Oh, well, I'll plug you. I will plug you on that. When I worked at St. Cloud, we did have good radio. It was but the bidding war for the rights to do it, I didn't like that. That got it parted between two good companies, and that was tough to do sometimes because I had friends at real good friends at both. But with the radio station here, we've been with the Beaver Radio Network for my whole time here, 9 years. It's been great. We've been able to expand the shows, and it took me a while to figure out, but the value we receive from the radio and the exposure for the pregame stuff you do, the postgame stuff you do, the social media stuff you do.
How Beaver Radio Today, Brian and Kelly do a ton of work.
I know it. And you know, having an in-game host like Mark Ritchie does for our games, off the charts. I mean, those are things we didn't have. Some of that, we tried, but it never was as good as what we've been able to do here. So that's good. You know, we're excited for that.
You are right.
You had Chuck
their
Lawson
horn
though.
Enough,
huh?
You had Chuck Lawson though.
Yeah, he's a Beaver grad.
He is.
He's a Beaver grad. So.
All comes back to Bemidji State somehow.
Yeah.
He's the PA announcer for St. Cloud State Hockey. And this, every time we're there, it's my birthday. Doesn't matter what month it is.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're right. You are right. God, and you always bring that up. It's going to be my birthday. Just listen. And it is every time.
There was a year that football and hockey both played in St. Cloud the same weekend. And I was on the field putting the parabolic mic in the end zone and stuff for football. And Ken Traxler said, "Schultze, happy birthday." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Because, I was at the hockey game last night and they said it was your birthday. Birthday's in July.
Chuckles. That's what I call him. He's good.
That's funny.
I've known Chuck in the baseball and softball umpiring world for the last 15
retired school teacher.
Yeah.
He was a good school teacher. Elementary. Very good. Out of Clearwater Elementary, out on the.
I will tell you that he told me that when we were in St. Cloud last month, this is his last year doing St. Cloud State hockey.
He sent me a note.
He goes, "I want the BSU job." I'm like, "Well, Tracy just announced his retirement. I don't know if I got any pull for you."
Yeah, yeah.
He would love to do. He loves the Sanford. He comes up to the games when the Huskies come to town here. So, yeah, I've seen him here. His daughter brings him. Deb brings him to the games.
Well,
too,
if he's a former BSU grad, if he's a BSU grad, I mean, you come back. You just come back. The place. I mean, if you don't already stay, it brings you back.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys that were with Chuck in that whole era that live in the St. Cloud area, and they're all Beavers, BSU people. So
once a Beaver, always a Beaver, right?
Yeah, I hear you there, man. Yeah.
Well, Tracy, thanks for everything over the years. I know we're going to see you for the next 5 months or so, but and even longer than that, but.
You guys, thank you, so both of you guys, so much, and all you do, and others within the organization too. You know, this is a good BSU is fortunate to have the Beaver Radio Network and the commitment to cover all the games. You look at the amount of games that we have. You know, you look at the number of schools that go on the road with women's ice hockey. How many do?
None.
I know it.
Minnesota does.
Yeah, they do now.
That's
but
it.
It's online.
Yep.
It's an online. It's not over the air. And then, you know, football, basketball, you know, those are, makes a huge deal. And
I believe the year prior to COVID, we had 160 some games.
Wow.
Between football, both basketballs, both hockeys.
Soccer,
baseball, softball.
Well, that reminds
volleyball.
Me. I'll tell you one thing, too, that when we put turf in my first summer here, we put turf in at Chet.
That's another big accomplishment.
Yeah, but
big time.
The thing, I remember talking to Joe Luke and we were talking about the impact. You know, he just loved BSU and that. But I told Joe, I said, "You won't realize what an impact you're going to, well, having turf will make in this community. He looked at me and I go, Joe, you're going to get all the high school games, all the college games. You're going to get other high school games in there. You're going to all soccer now. Boys and girls soccer plus playoffs. You're going to get BSU soccer, all there played. You're going to get softball games on there. Plus, you're going to have a ton of stuff in the spring that you don't. So we went the first year. We didn't have that many events. I think like 20-some on it. Till right before COVID, we were like 60-some ticketed events in the stadium. And again, that's kind of how Joe had a great vision for most everything. Just like Fred Baker, too. He has the same broad thinker in that. So love being around people like that.
And what is the lifespan of turf? About 10 years?
It is, this type of turf, we'll probably get 12 years. So it's got another 3 years left.
Hey, can I say something to this guy?
You are the boss.
I just left a meeting and then I was listening. So thanks for all the...
Thank you.
But I just want to say that, you know, when you came in, you had a big challenge ahead of you and you created a program that we could work off of. And that's how we were able to grow.
Yeah.
And I just really appreciate our relationship we had over the last 9 years. I think we had, it wasn't even a difference, but I've been in live entertainment for 30 years, man. And you were the easiest to work with.
Thanks, Brian.
And I hope you enjoy your retirement. And thank you for all you've done for the Beaver Radio Network, Bemidji State University, and taking us to that next level, man.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Mark.
You bet. Wow.
See,
Mark's been here the whole time, as well as I have the duration of the Beaver Radio Network. Started back in 1999, I want to say.
First year D1.
Yeah. So, it's been a great ride, but
long time.
You can see the improvement every year after year, and things going in the right direction.
Yeah, I've had good people to work with, though, too. I mean, it takes a lot of...
All right, who's the person that you had to rely on the most there in the office?
Got to be Deb.
Deb?
Without a doubt, Deb. Yep, Deb's...
Deb. All 9 years, was she...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Right. And before I started. No kidding. I mean...
Oh, I know she was there before because she helped arrange our flights to the Frozen Four.
Well,
when
I was hired... Oh, I think I was offered the job in February sometime. I interviewed them, but I knew I had the job. So, but heck, I was talking to her. She had the insight on everything.
She's the pulse of the athletic department, right?
She is.
And such a fun, familiar face whenever I walk in. Walk in.
She keeps me straight. She keeps my calendar organized. If I screw up, I usually know because she's the first one in my office to tell me. So,
Tracy, again, thank you much.
Yep.
Happy retirement come this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yep. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Tracy Dill, Beaver Director of Athletics, joining us tonight here on the Coach's Huddle. 8 games this weekend in the Beaver Radio Network. Basketball's at home. Men's hockey at home. Women's hockey on the road.
A couple things, too. Friday night for basketball is family four-pack, $20.
Nice.
For 4 tickets, 4 bottles of water or 4 hot dogs and or popcorn you can get for $20. Plus, Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union's the game sponsor, and they're doing some really good little giveaway spin wheel stuff to do that as well. And then for hockey this weekend, too, just every seat in the Laurel Bowl.
$12.
$12. Can't get better than that.
Wow.
Can you?
Sweet.
No fees.
$12.
That's sales tax included.
$12.
$12.
And we need to get people there because they need to turn the tide and get back into their winning ways.
We do. We need a loud, raucous crowd.
Do you know this? That at basketball games, the concession stand has tater tots.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Tater tots.
And they're good.
I haven't been to a basketball game in forever. I don't know why. Yeah. I'm not, I guess.
Because you're working.
That's right. Most of the time we're at hockey games, but I enjoy going to the gym and watching basketball games. I think it was when my brother reffed.
Tim Ballou is really creative little, you know, he's.
Well, if you got fryers, why not tater tots, man?
It's an air fryer.
Yeah. Even better.
Yeah, it's
no
good.
Grease, right?
No, it's good.
Said he tried French fries, and you just can't make enough of them at a time. He goes, tater tots, it works great.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, I suppose really hugely popular, too, I would imagine.
Now he has the pizza oven going. And
so it's basically $5. It's $20 for a family of four, and you get four tickets to the game, four bottles of water, and either four things of popcorn or four hot dogs on Friday night.
Yep.
And the game starts at what? The women start at 5?
5:30.
Okay.
For the women and 7:30
for the men.
Play Minot State. Good games.
Same price for both. I mean, you pay $20 and you're into both games.
You are.
Not per game. You get both games.
It is. So it's a really good deal.
Yeah, go to early. Go to the plus women's game, and then you can stay for the men's
plus
game.
Plus, go spin the wheel over at the Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union kiosk, and you got prizes. And they're giving away two big grand prizes at each game.
Like what?
I mean, like
a TV? Huge TV?
No. That would be
iPad.
Only. That'd be
that's
only
the hockey hot shots. Where someone who never touch a hockey stick can win, apparently. Were you there for that?
I have seen both the winners here this year.
Isn't that crazy?
Unbelievable. The videos of them are
classic.
The one that you got, I'm changing the subject, but the one that you got with the phone camera on the ice.
Yes.
That was cool.
Yeah. And
that reaction.
She missed the puck four times because
she never held
a hockey stick before.
My wife was laughing so hard.
Everybody remembers that shot because she missed four times and then won the contest.
I think Mark was gone, so Jody was.
Yeah, it was Jody
on the ice.
Yeah,
and her reaction was priceless. Let's just put it that way. So,
well, I told this after the third swing and a miss, you just struck out.
And she missed fourth. She missed the fourth one, and then you can hear the guy that's with her say, okay, that's it. And she took one more swing and wins the whole contest, which is so rare. I mean, we had two winners this year, but, I mean, some years we don't have any.
Oh, I know.
I mean, what are the odds of that?
We almost had won the last game, too. I mean, that was close, too. We just barely missed.
I know. I mean, I was a little worried. But Affinity's giving stuff away on Friday at the basketball game, right? So it's worthy of that as well, not – I mean, go support the Beavs, wear the green, go Green Friday.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So we got some pretty good deals going this weekend if you want. And we're trying to make it affordable. We know it's cold out.
Get out and get inside.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at some things maybe for that last weekend, too, with St. Thomas, too. We'll have senior weekend in there too.
That's right, the last kind of home series before the playoffs and the first time they'll host St. Thomas.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe 4 weeks left of the regular season.
Yeah. It goes by quick.
It does.
And it's always that way. You know what happens? You're so preoccupied with everything you're doing, weeks just fly by.
Yep.
They do.
Means we're having a good time.
We are.
Yep. Yeah, looking forward to it.
See everybody out at the games this weekend. If not, we'll have them for you. Info online at BeaverRadioNetwork.com. We're back next Wednesday night. The Tom Ceratori Show and the Coach's Huddle right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.